Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is about training, and we're going to be going through rep ranges and the expected results that you would get from each range. So this was requested by a listener, and this is something that we've discussed in past podcasts, but I don't think we did one specific just for this. So I thought it would be a good one to either just revisit, even if we already did make it, or just kind of bring it up for people who maybe are newer to this podcast. So when we think of rep ranges, we've talked about it before that really rep ranges, whenever they've done kind of the studies to figure out what actually are the effects of different amounts of time under tension under a weighted load. So when they would test a muscle and say, they would often do these in like kind of like collegiate-based experiments or research laboratories, stuff like that, where it's very controlled environments. They'd put somebody in a machine that did like an isolative movement, like say a leg extension. And they would have the person perform a leg extension for say 30 seconds. And they would say, okay, what were the effects that we got for 30 seconds? They would compare that to people who trained maybe 20 seconds or 10 seconds or 60 seconds. So over time, they've done studies and they found out what the responses were for different time under tensions. And then also we have all of the years that people have been lifting weights, all the decades. And, you know, they would talk and, you know, a bodybuilder who is focused on big muscles would often report, you know, training at a certain time frame per set. Powerlifters or strength-based people would talk about training at a certain time or intention for them. And you would have kind of the real world, I don't know if hopefully I said that correctly, real world, there we go. So we would have the real world anecdotal type evidence, then we would combine the sciencey type evidence, and essentially we have kind of found out what are the correct kind of time under tension amounts that you should have for the goals that you're looking for. Then what happened was when people said, oh, you should lift for 20 seconds, like somebody would say, okay, well, if I'm doing a chest press, for example, I can't look at a wristwatch and figure out what 20 seconds is, like how many reps that is. So how many, how do I know if I'm at 20 seconds? So somebody would say, oh, okay, we'll do about, you know, 6 to 8 reps. Or they would say 8 to 12 reps or something like that. So when I was coming up and learning about bodybuilding, it was typically recommended to do sets of 8 to 12. And sometimes legs were said to be okay to do it for longer time under or higher rep ranges, would be like maybe every once in a while up to 20. And then it was kind of like edgy to kind of do a heavy set of 6. So pretty much all bodybuilding kind of stayed in the 6 reps to 20 reps range. And when I was learning this, I was learning from a lot of just kind of general population magazines like Health and Fitness, Muscular Development, stuff like that. And whenever we were in those magazines, they talked about like, you know, drop sets, supersets, rest pause, stuff like that. But very rarely did they ever talk about going outside of those rep ranges. So there was a lot of talk about techniques and what to do with, like, you know, if I have a set of this and a set of this, what I can do in relation to that. Or I can extend a set doing, say, rest pauses. But there was kind of very rare talk where in the bodybuilder world, somebody would talk about the benefits of, say, 3 to 5 reps. Or like in, just kind of interesting. Like people kind of like pigeonholed themselves into rep ranges. And nowadays, which is really awesome, is there's a lot more talk about the benefits of going outside of those ranges. Not on a consistent basis where you have no set amount, but every once in a while, if you're a bodybuilder, the benefits of maybe doing a set of 50 reps on a leg press or something like that, like how that can shock your body and kind of change up the stimulus. So one of my favorite ways to train for bodybuilders is to have the majority of their work kind of in like that 20 second to 40 second time under tension range, which is appropriate for most bodybuilders. And we'll talk about this in a second. But very routinely, almost all workouts, we do something a little bit heavier, something a little bit higher reps. We get out of our norm so that way we don't let the body become accustomed too much to what we always do. So once the body gets bored and it gets predictive of what you're doing, you'll stop getting as good of results. So that's something I always like doing, is mixing in a lot of rep ranges, a lot of time under tensions into my training. I'm certainly going to keep, say, the middle, you know, say 66%, you know, anywhere from, let's just say 60-80%. I'm going to keep the middle 60-80% correct for what my goals are. But every once in a while, like we said, on that extra kind of 20%, get outside of those ranges and kind of test the waters a little bit and shock your body so that way it doesn't always predict that common range. And the reason why I wanted to say that before I get into what the ranges are is so that way, as I'm listing them and saying the benefits, if I list a number and then a specific benefit and you're like, ah, I don't want that, I'm not going to do that. And then instead of you just dismissing it completely, you might consider, eh, I might want to throw that in every now and then. So for example, if somebody is a bodybuilder, they do need to worry about getting stronger. So they do need to throw in some strength aspects. Because if I can do, you know, say 80-pound dumbbells for sets of 10 right now, how am I ever going to get strong enough to go to 100-pound dumbbells or 120-pound dumbbells? So you're constantly going to be switching exercises, switching variations, but you're probably going to stay within the rep ranges in kind of that weight range. So for example, it's common in bodybuilding to where somebody might do, you know, say 4 to 8 weeks of a flat bench dumbbell presses. They might do 4 to 8 weeks of like 15-degree incline, 4 to 8 weeks of a 30-degree incline, and then they'll kind of cycle back through. And it's kind of boring and basic, but that is what commonly what people do. And they're within those different degrees, they're going to be hitting different percentages of fibers, maybe slightly different angles. Maybe somebody might get crazy and throw in some decline, you know, to hit some different angles. They hit a lot of different angles and stuff. They get at a lot of different positions, but they're almost always within the same kind of 20-pound range of dumbbells. So they never really push that strength level up. Okay, and then for powerlifters, strength athletes, they almost never do enough cardio to stay aerobically fit, and that actually limits how much workload they can get in an individual workout. It actually limits how much they can recover from workout to workout, so they're actually hindering their overall progression by not getting enough cardiovascular health in there. So there are a ton of benefits from going outside of your ranges and keeping things fresh, keeping things new, and make sure you get a little bit of the benefits of those other ranges other than just your specific goal. Okay, so hopefully that helped a little bit understand why this is helpful. So if you think, oh, I already know what I should do, you know, I already know I do this number of reps, that's fine. Well, let's listen to this podcast with an open mind and let's consider what the benefits of other rep ranges might give us. Okay, now we talked about rep ranges and I've been throwing in here some time under tension aspects and number of seconds. And that's what I want to get across is rep ranges is not actually the most accurate way to look at your workload per set. So I would much rather encourage you to look at time under tension because everybody moves a little bit differently. So I am what I would consider a rhythm bodybuilder. So whenever I move weights for bodybuilding, I tend to move more at a rhythmic pace, meaning I'll kind of get like 10 reps done in maybe 20 seconds. So I have constant tension on the muscle. There's no momentum, but I'm not going to like sit there and, you know, take 5 seconds per rep. I'm going to move the weight a little bit, and I like finding that rhythm, and I feel like it gives me a good pump. It finds a good tempo for my body, and I find that that actually has helped me over the years with some of the injuries that I've had. It helps me not sit in one stagnant position too long, going too slow, and letting the muscle break down too much in my weakest positions. So by using a little bit of a faster speed, I can kind of protect my most dangerous positions. So I would be considered a rhythm kind of bodybuilder. Then we have another trainer at the gym who moves much slower, more deliberate pace. He really likes to go at a very, very controlled pace and feel the muscle kind of stressing and damaging along the way, which is excellent for bodybuilding. And that's what he is. He's a bodybuilder. So if you were to look at us and you would ask me to do 10 reps, it might take me maybe 20 seconds. You ask him to do 10 reps and it could take him 30 seconds, maybe even a little bit more. So if we were to compare our effects from that, our results from that, we might get slightly different results even though we're both doing quote-unquote 10 reps because our underlying time under tension is actually different. And that's also different per person per exercise. So the speed in which we do one movement versus another, even if it's consistent, some movements have different ranges of motion. So think of how long the range of motion of a squat is versus a bicep curl or even a calf raise, for example. So it's going to take you much longer time and attention to complete one rep of a squat than one rep of a calf raise. So it's good for us to understand time and attention compared to rep ranges, so that way we can better understand what the underlying ultimate goal is. And the underlying ultimate goal is to match the time and attention we want to our results, not necessarily the rep range, because the rep range isn't a true indicator of time and attention. Like we just said, all those variables that can make it different. So 10 reps might be different for you versus another person, or even from you from one exercise to another. So how do we do this is, often when I'm brand new to a movement, I will time my first set. So I'll set, now that we have the wonderful world of smartphones, I can actually set a timer for, say, I'll set it up, usually I'll have, like, if I know it's going to take me, say I have dumbbell presses, I'll set like an extra 5 seconds so I can click the button, you know, set the dumbbells, lay back, and get into the pressing motion. So I might set it for 25 seconds to try to time a 20-second set. So I'll set that, I'll sit back, put the dumbbells in place, and start pressing, and whenever the beeper goes off, that's my 20 seconds. Whether I got 8 reps or 10 reps or 12 reps, I now know what the number is I should look for my remaining sets. So say I did 8 reps in 20 seconds, then I know, okay, if I want 20-second sets, I should be around 8 reps. Whereas on paper, you might think 8 to 12, and you'd be doing 12, and unfortunately, you're in actually the wrong time frame. So that's how we kind of put this stuff to use, is we think of time and attentions rather than rep ranges. And you can figure out your rep range for your different timer attentions by just timing your first set using your smartphone. If you're training with a training partner, you can just have them simply time and tell you when to start and stop. Okay, so that gets us all the background information, hopefully, and why we're going to get into this information. We have one more thing to get through before I actually tell you all the numbers. And again, I want to tell you all this stuff firsthand so you'll listen to that a little bit more. Well, there's two more things. Dang it. And okay, let me talk a little bit quicker here so we don't take forever. Is the time under tension is specific to when the muscle is loaded. So if I walk out a squat and then I take 10 seconds before I get my breathing and bracing right and I bend my knees, that first 10 seconds does not count. So time under tension only refers to when the muscles are under tension, meaning they're loaded with the weight. So the weight is no longer on the joints, it's actually on the muscles. And this goes for isometrics as well. So if isometrics, if you're in a bent joint position, and you load into an isometric, the amount of time that you are loaded does count because the joint is bent and the load is in the muscles. So if you do a set of 5 in squats and you look at it and it's like, holy crap, that took me 40 seconds, you can't count the amount of walkout time, you can't count the time at the end to walk the bar in, you can't count if there was time spent in between each rep breathing and bracing and repositioning. It's only when the joints are bent and the muscles are taking the load that counts towards your time under tension. The other thing we have is in this time frames, we're going to be talking about kind of like certain time frames that are best for muscular damage. And muscular damage is going to be, if you eat in excess, what leads to bodybuilding, what leads to muscle growth. If you do not eat in caloric excess, then having time frames specific for ultimate muscle damage will actually help you. So too often when people don't want to get bigger, they're like, eh, you know, I want to look good, but I don't want to get too big, so I'm not going to lift very heavy. No. That is not the right way to do it, okay? So go listen to podcast number 181 titled Using Muscle Growth for Fat Loss, or Muscle Damage, I'm sorry, Using Muscle Damage for Fat Loss. So when you damage the muscle tissue, your body has to work really hard to recover and repair that tissue. So it's going to dump extra calories into that process. So if you work out and you have a lot of muscle damage, and you do not eat in a caloric excess, you absolutely will not build muscle, and you'll actually get leaner faster. So this is typical of females, but it absolutely includes males as well. I've worked with powerlifters who are at a tough weight class. I've worked with wrestlers. I've worked with swimmers where they can't gain too much body weight. I've worked with a ton of people in various sports and activities, male and female, where we didn't want muscle growth, but we did want lean physique. We wanted the balances and strengths. We wanted, you know, all the benefit of heavy lifting, but we didn't want to get bigger. So all you have to do is control your nutrition intake. Now, if you are not controlling your caloric intake and you lift heavy weights, you have the potential to grow muscle. So sometimes if somebody's saying, you'll hear this again commonly in women, they'll say, oh, every time I lift weights, I just get bulky and I get big. Well, it's really unlikely that that's actually true. So we've talked about this in the past where it takes weeks and months to build muscle tissue. So if you just kind of meandered around with weights, you know, one or two workouts, you did absolutely not build any muscle whatsoever. So you might have a little bit of swelling in the area due to water retention from the damaged muscles. So if you weren't able to damage the muscles, when our body's going through the repair of fixing muscles, it dumps water into the area. So you can have some swelling or some thickness from either the blood buildup of the contractions you had or that water retention. So if you did train legs, the next day your legs might be a little puffy. If you try to pair of pants on, they're going to feel a little snugger than normal. And it's not that your legs got bigger. They don't grow in one day. It's just that you have some of those damage effects from the workout. Okay? So, if you want to get lean, you do need to lift heavy enough to cause muscle damage. So when we talk about the rep ranges that refer to muscular damage, you absolutely do want to lift in those. Don't make the mistake of doing all those fluffy high rep circuits that are just basically a form of cardio but no muscle damage. You will not get the results that you're looking for if you do that. And if you get any results, they're going to take way the hell longer than they would have if you actually lifted heavy enough to cause muscle damage. So you do want muscle damage if you want to be leaner. Even if you're afraid of being bigger, just don't eat in a caloric surplus and you'll be totally fine. Cool. Okay, so now I'll actually get into the real stuff that you chimed in for. So I do think some of that stuff beforehand was helpful just to kind of set the scene of the underlying points and important notes for this stuff. So time under tension ranges. If you think of something about 10 seconds or less, so you're doing a movement, you know, it can be a squat, deadlift, bench press, overhead press, you know, whatever heck, whatever it is you're doing. If you do it for 10 seconds or less of time under tension, that generally relates to strength expression and technique development. So what that means is you're often not really building a lot of strength in terms of physical effects when you're 10 seconds or less. And the reason why is the time under tension is so small that you can't really accumulate a lot of muscular damage. You absolutely do cause muscular damage, but just not as significant amount as with these other rep ranges we're going to talk about. So you accumulate some muscle damage. You definitely accumulate joint damage. So you got to be careful on how much of your workout is spent at 10 seconds or less, and whether they have loaded eccentrics or not. So I don't want to get too much into the weeds, but if something has a loaded concentric but an unloaded eccentric, you have a lot less to worry about, and you can do a lot more of that. Now, if you do have loaded eccentrics, then the second 10 seconds or less is mostly strength expression and technique for strength. So will it make you stronger to train at 10 seconds or less? Yes, but mostly because it's going to help you improve your technical strength and your mental strength of having, like, what it takes for you to be confident and go through your cues and movements correctly under very heavy weight. So we've talked about this in past podcasts about the three ways in which you can get quote-unquote stronger would be physical development, mental development, and technical development. So sets of 10 seconds or less don't do much for physical development, but they help wonders towards technique development and mental development. So they are helpful for overall strength, but we need to recognize that we're not getting physically stronger from them. We're just getting technical and mental strength. Cool. Now, how about activities of 10 seconds to 20 seconds? This is considered a little bit of a blend of like strength building in the sense that you do still get it heavy enough to get the technical benefit. It's like heavy enough and low enough reps. So if I'm trying to work on technique of squats and I'm doing 35 reps, that's going to be so dang hard because they're going to be so inconsistent, I'm going to be so out of breath. So sometimes if you have too many reps of an exercise, you don't really improve the technique in regards to strength, especially if you're looking in regards to the strength and the technique needed for a one rep max, say in powerlifting. So sets of 10 to 20 seconds, they help build strength because they're still going to have that technical and mental effect, but the time under tension is now a little bit longer, long enough to get some more muscle damage that will relate more to the muscular effect, which is that physical development. Okay? So even if somebody doesn't want, like, they're not that concerned with getting stronger, or if they do want to get stronger but they're concerned about getting bigger, you can still do this stuff. So you want to do sets of 10 to 20 reps because they're going to help you build a little bit of strength. So that way you can get stronger and move heavier weights to cause more muscle damage later on. But again, as long as you don't eat in excess, they won't cause too big of muscles. Okay? So sets of 20 to 30 seconds, That's kind of like heavier muscle damage. So what this means, this is kind of like quote-unquote heavy bodybuilding. So it's not going to get much for technique for a one rep max. It is going to help you improve the technique of the exercise you're doing, but it's not going to relate well to overly well to a one rep max. And you're not going to get as much of a mental effect because it's not the same as a one rep max. So if you're looking at technique and mental towards a one rep max, sets of 20 to 30 seconds aren't as applicable as sets of 10 to 20 seconds or 10 or less. Now, if you're looking at technique in terms of exercise proficiency, in terms of like getting muscular damage, so for bodybuilding or body shaping or aesthetic-based sports, then absolutely this is technique work. So it all kind of relates to what perspective you're coming at. So if I am doing like aesthetic-based stuff or I want to change my physique, I'm almost always going to be at 20 to 30 seconds or longer. So this is the heaviest work that you would normally do. Therefore, it does relate to your technique and your mental effect. So maybe your norm is 8 to 12 reps, and all of a sudden today you're going to shock yourself a little bit and try a set of 6. Well, that's the heaviest you ever normally do, so therefore it's going to challenge you mentally. So the mental development and the technical development are relation to what you want to develop it towards. So if you want to develop it towards, say, normal 8 to 12 reps, then it's helpful at 20 to 30 seconds. If you want to develop it towards a one rep max, it's less helpful. Okay? So 20 to 30 seconds of time and attention for sets taken to that time frame, that is awesome, awesome, awesome if you're on the weaker side or underdeveloped in physical strength. You want to spend the majority of your workout in this 20 to 30 second range. Because this is, if you're weaker, this is probably the range in which you can still use heavy enough weights to actually cause muscular damage. So just because you're loaded under time under tension doesn't mean you're getting muscle damage. So if I do 3-pound dumbbells for lateral raises, that's it might be challenging, but it's not heavy enough to actually tear any tissue. So I'm not going to get physical damage unless something's heavy enough. So for people who are on the weaker side, for your frame or your goal or what you are in relation to other people around your body shape and size and stuff like that. If you're on the weaker side, you want to spend a lot of time in that 20 to 30 second range because that way you can still use heavy enough weights to get muscle damage. Now, on the contrary, if you're already pretty strong, you want to be a little careful on this range because it can be stressful to the joints. So if you're, say, a powerlifter or a strongman, and you're doing accessory type exercises, like I'm doing hamstring curls to build up my deadlift. I don't want to do too much of that 20 to 30 second time range because you're already doing really heavy ass deadlifts. So you want to be a little more careful to your connective tissues and joints. So you're going to spend more of your time in that 30 to 60 second range. Okay. And that is our next range. That's kind of like the medium or lighter kind of muscle damage range. Now, again, this range of the 30 to 60 seconds isn't as helpful for weaker people, but it's definitely still super helpful for stronger people. And the reason why for stronger people is you get to use a little bit less weight, and so it's a little bit less wear and tear on your joints, but it's still heavy enough that it's going to cause muscle damage. So think about if I'm doing stiff leg deadlifts, and I can do stiff leg deadlifts with 315 pounds for 40 seconds, that's still plenty heavy enough to tear up my hamstrings, tear up my glutes. You know, that's still plenty heavy enough for the effects that you would want. Whereas if you had to go up to like 405 for a set of 20 seconds, all of a sudden you're going to start pulling and tearing on some things that maybe are already beat up from your heavier type deadlifts and squats. So, and then activities of 60 seconds plus are more like muscle endurance and cardio endurance. So you're not going to get much muscle damage effect at all, if any. You're going to get muscle annoyance. The muscle will burn and stuff, and you'll get some effect from that. But it's more so cardio. It's in a sense of like doing an elaborate way of using a treadmill. So it's not that it's not helpful. It's just that you're not going to get bigger muscles usually from that, and you're not going to create a lot of muscular damage, which therefore means you're not going to get that kind of fat loss effect from muscle damage that we talked about in podcast number 181. Okay? So let's give a quick rundown on this. Is 0 to 10 seconds is strength expression and technique development and mental development for strength athletes. 10 to 20 seconds is kind of like strength building, some muscle damage, and this is very, very, very heavy for bodybuilders or aesthetic athletes, or it's kind of like that drop down range after your one rep max for powerlifters or strength athletes like strongman and stuff. Sets of 20 to 30 seconds is good heavy bodybuilding work. So that's going to give you your muscle damage, And if you're weaker, you want to spend more time in this range, 20 to 30 seconds. If you're a stronger person, you can include this range, but don't use this for your bodybuilding. Instead, use that 30 to 60 second range, and that'll be the better range for stronger people for bodybuilding effect while not beating up your joints too much. Now, if you're not strong, that 30 to 60 second range might end up being too light of weights to actually be effective. So you have to be careful on whether you're using a heavy enough weight to cause damage to the tissues that you're trying to use. And then activities of 60 seconds plus, they're great for muscle endurance and cardiovascular endurance, but if you're looking for strength or muscle damage, it's not so great. Okay, so I'm going to try to keep this under 30 minutes. We're at 25-ish minutes right now, so I want to blitz through some last little quick tips. Is you can do combination examples of this. So this is where people hire me as a trainer or somebody else as a trainer, where we know all these little fancy little asterisks and tricks and whatnot. So I can do a superset, for example, of competing muscles of a 10 to 20 second activity into a 30 to 60 second activity. So for example, I can do dumbbell chest presses, really, really, really freaking heavy, 10 to 20 seconds. Then I can superset that right into a cable machine or just a machine chest flies for 30 to 60 seconds. That's an awesome, awesome way to get strength development as a bodybuilder, but also get your muscle damage component, your growth and shaping component as a bodybuilder. So using supersets with compounding movements or similar movements in that 10 to 20 second range, supersetted with a 30 to 60 second range, is a fantastic, amazing option for getting strength increases in a bodybuilder while still getting the shape and volume that you want. We also have like circuit examples. So I often have a lot of clients that run through circuits where we do a movement of like 10 to 20 seconds paired with another movement of 20 to 30, then another movement of 30 to 60. And this is a great way for overall development. So if somebody's looking to get, you know, bigger, faster, stronger, they just kind of want it all, that's a great combination. So it's usually like I might pair it with all lower body or all like push or all pull. So a low body example might be, you know, they might do squats, some type of a squat for 10 to 20 seconds. Then we'll do some type of a hinge, you know, maybe a stiff leg deadlift or something like that for 20 to 30 seconds. And then they'll do like leg press, walking lunges, or sled push pulls, something that's an overall leg developer for 30 to 60 seconds. So they might do a squat specific, like a knee bend specific. They might do a hinge, which is like a waist bend specific. And then an overall leg developer. And you can even flip-flop the squat and the deadlift portion. If you're doing pushes, you can do, you know, a heavy chest press followed by like some type of like an overhead press followed by an overall body kind of annoying thing, so battle ropes or something like that. There's lots of examples. But putting together circuits where you have similar movements, and one is like the 10 to 20 second range, another one's 20 to 30 second range, another one's 30 to 60. That's a great way for overall development. The fact that they're all in a circuit means you can get a crap load of work done in a very short period of time. So if you only have 20 or 30 minutes to work out, you can absolutely get all the goals you want in a 30-minute workout with a structure like that. So we talk about these time and attention ranges, but as you get better with understanding them, you can then learn how to pair them and mix them up to get kind of a matchup of the best results possible. So that's the idea, okay? So hopefully that was helpful, kind of blitzing through there. So it's a lot of information to fit into one podcast. So this was more so meant as like an introduction, kind of letting you know the stuff. And then if you have more specific questions, please, please, please email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com and let us know what your question is. We'll make a podcast about that question. So this would be what I would consider is a broad-based knowledge kind of podcast. It's a lot of information, I know, but it's how much you've got to put in to make sure this is useful. If I were to just tell you the time, like rep ranges, like just say, you know, 5 or less is strength, 6 to 12 is bodybuilding, you know, 12 or more is muscular endurance. That's the bullshit I was fed when I was 16, and it absolutely isn't true. It's way too basic. It absolutely does not cover the individual specifics depending on what your focus is. So I don't want to feed you guys that bull crap that I got fed. So this is what took me 20 freaking years to learn all this, to really understand the true definition, the true effects of different rep ranges and their related time and retentions. Okay? So hopefully that was helpful. And if you want a quick rundown of this, we can make like a PDF available. So if you just want a quick like sheet that'll kind of show this information, just shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. Cool. Okay. Hopefully it was helpful. So thank you guys for listening. Like I said, if you have any more specific questions, let us know. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please share it with family and friends. So the more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, anything like that, please let us know. So this podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. Cool. Okay. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.